to Revealing Romania. I'm John Paul.
And I'm Jane Rickstead. During the next hour, we'll take you to Romania, a central Eastern European nation that was admitted to the European Union in 2007.
Romania has a population of more than 20 million people and is bordered by six former communist states, including Hungary, Ukraine, and Bulgaria. Romania was also under communist rule with its most famous dictator, Nicolae Ceaușescu, at the helm until his violent overthrow in 1989. As Romania marks 20 years since its break with communism, we found it to be an up-and-coming nation full of promise. Yet, as Romania continues its transition from its communist past, the new European Union member faces incredible challenges.
Stay tuned as we reveal Romania. Welcome back to Revealing Romania. I'm Jane Riestek.
And I'm John Paul.
John and I were part of a group of 10 students who traveled to Romania as a part of journalism professor Nancy Benson's international reporting course. We wanted to see how Romania has changed 20 years after the end of communism and 2 years after joining the European Union. Now that Romanians can pass freely over European Union borders, EU countries such as Italy are seeing an influx of Romanian workers. Many Romanians say working outside their country is the only way to make a decent salary. Terrell Starr reports.
Daniel Coleman didn't want to depend on his parents for money. He was living at home in Romania and wanted to live a more independent lifestyle. So he figured he'd get a job, earn his own income, and eventually rent an apartment. But the then 20-year-old ran into one major roadblock.
It was practically impossible here in Romania. You had to know somebody, your parents, friends, something. You couldn't just get a place to live to. You could afford back then, anyways, to pay the rent and survive, you know.
So he packed up his things and headed to Italy for 3 months, then to Spain and Ireland for a total of nearly 4 years. His average salary in Europe was between $1,100 and $1,400 per month. The average Romanian makes $450. It was this disparity that convinced university student Rusu Constantine to leave for Cyprus in September of 2007. As a recent high school graduate, he wanted to start college but lacked the funds to do so. After 4 months in Cyprus, he made $3,500, a sum he says would have taken much longer to earn in his own country.
In Romanian, you must work 8-9 months for this money. And in Cyprus, I worked 3 months for this money.
Constantine and Coman are not unique. Statistics show more than 2 million Romanians are currently working abroad, with Italy and Spain as the top destinations, both by employment and labor-related fields, with men usually working in construction and women as maids in hotels and private homes. The trend of Romanians leaving the country began in 1990, soon after communism fell. Silvia Negut, an economics professor at the Academy of Economic Studies in Bucharest, has been studying economic migration trends of Romanians for the past 10 years. Negut says the migration has resulted in a brain drain, especially in information technology.
Usually the best in every domain, though. And this happens not only to IT, but also to biology, to medicine, to math, to physics, to every important domains. And this is a great loss for Romania, because it loses the most important and the best people in every domain.
However, Negut says the remittances these workers send to Romania significantly help the Romanian economy and their families back home. One person who is benefiting from remittances is Voluciu Ludinia, a student at Babes Bolyai University in Cluj. Her parents currently work in Belgium to support her and her sister's educations. If it weren't for her parents working abroad, Voluciu says college likely would not be possible.
Maybe if they have stayed in here, we couldn't afford to be at the university. Okay. That's why it's better for them to be there.
Voluciu feels she benefits from her parents working in Belgium, but the money isn't everything.
It is a comfort, yes, but only what matters is the money, because on our feelings, I said, it's very difficult for us to know them that they are foreign, that they are working for us.
Voluciu mentioned just one of the emotional strains working abroad can create for many Romanians and their families, but there are others. Many Romanians living in Italy, for example, complain they're targets of media stereotypes, such as being compared to criminals. Earlier this year, two Romanians were arrested for the rape of an Italian teenager in Rome, but DNA quickly cleared them of the crime, leaving many wondering if anti-immigrant sentiment pushed prosecutors to act too soon. Negut says cases like these are just one of the downsides of working abroad.
Although it was shown that they were not guilty, the mass media from Italy didn't say anything about this, and the Romanian mass media had to try to find out this from other sources.
Maria Belcescu has been in Rome for 9 months and says this case makes adjusting to Italy more difficult. The tall, dark-haired former volleyball player has a degree in physical education, but makes her living working as a maid in a hotel. She feels she's working beneath her abilities, but cleaning rooms in Italy makes her much more money than working as a professional back in Romania. So financially, Italy has been good to her. Yet she admits her income doesn't protect her from the stereotypes she feels many Italians have Romanians.
If something happens, immediately they say it's probably Romanian people or something like that. And sometimes when you hear all this news or these things, you feel afraid for you sometimes when you hear every day something about Romanians.
But 23-year-old Katia Tuchimina says this reality comes with being an immigrant. She moved to Italy with her mother at the age of 16 and is aware of the negative perceptions of Romanians in Italy.
What you can do? You have to go on, you know? You don't think about it. You try to go on every day, so...
Morella Lucacci has been living in Rome for 10 years. She feels more Italian than Romanian, but as her translator explains, Lucacci's love for Italy doesn't protect her from being labeled by Italians who know she is Romanian.
After bad things happened, and she was scared when she went to pick up her daughter at the school because the Italian kids were using bad words with her, and that from the media they were using the same word that they actually received from newspaper.
But Lucacci says she's learned to deal with it by having a positive outlook about herself.
I don't care about media, I'm serious, I'm like this, so this is an important thing.
Viorel Nister is an economics professor at Babes Bolyai University in Cluj, Romania, and specializes in economic migration. He says Romanians may feel isolated socially when working in Europe, but it would hardly make them leave a job with a stable income.
Only a couple of Romanians would come back in their country because of this reason.
Nister says fewer Romanians are now going abroad because of the global economic crisis. Daniel Coman, who worked abroad for 4 years, now feels Romania is improving. The university student has hope that he can find a good paying job when he graduates from college.
I have to say that I'm thrilled with the way things have improved here, because I do notice the difference, and now you could get a job, and you could make a living, I don't know, decent living.
And though Ludinia Voluciu understands her parents left to make her college education in Romania possible, she doesn't see herself following in their footsteps.
Maybe, I don't know. I think on the university that I am now, I have a lot of opportunities to work after that, so I don't think I will have to go from my country.
Maria Belcescu is not so sure. She has been in Italy for 9 months. She says the social challenges she's been having in Italy make her play with the idea of going back to Romania, maybe.
Yes, now I think like that I will come back in there. But if I will find some people, Italian people, I mean, with who I will understand good, or will I make friends or something like that, I don't know.
What we do know is that most Romanians view working abroad positively. Iris Alexei is a program coordinator at the Soros Foundation in Romania. In a recent study conducted by Soros, over 50% of Romanians say economic migration is a good thing.
Positive effects, of course, are that there are remittances sent in the country and used for modernization, for investments, and so on. People change their values, their lifestyles, and this increases their capital.
Alexei added that one-third of Romanian households have a family member who works abroad. However, there are no official numbers to determine how many Romanians migrate permanently and those who did not. This is Terrell Starr, Revealing Romania.
The migration of Romanian doctors is another problem for the country. Under a free healthcare system, doctors are paid by the government. But Romania doesn't have enough money to improve its healthcare system, and corruption interferes with what little funds are being distributed. This has resulted in a lack of resources, equipment, and most recently, doctors. Pamela Nisavaco has the story.
During the communist era in Romania, doctors were not considered as valuable as those working in the factories. That hasn't changed much. Romanian doctors make only 300 to 400 euros a month, the equivalent of about $420 to $560.
And that's one of the greatest reasons why everybody wants to leave.
Radu Mocalu is a second-year medical student at the University of Bucharest. Mocalu, like many of his colleagues, says he plans to work abroad after graduation to earn more money.
Right now I'm thinking of finding an internship or something somewhere in Europe for a few years, because you get to learn better things than here, and the conditions are a lot better. But I'm still in the second year, I still have four more years of college, and then I'll have a lot of time to think what I have to do. But this is my option, I guess, right now.
Since being accepted to the European Union in 2007, the number of doctors going abroad each year continues to increase, and that's having a negative impact on the Romanian healthcare system. Alexandru Durataia is a fourth-year medical student and vice president of external affairs for the medical students organization in Cluj. He says the Romanian healthcare system would be better if qualified doctors could be convinced to stay.
If you want something to be better here, don't let all the bad students remain, because usually the good students leave, the good doctors leave, and then all your half here in Romania are the mediocre and low-level students who cannot afford to go there because they're not good enough, they don't have enough experience, they don't have enough knowledge, and if they remain here, things will not get better in the medical system.
While the Romanian healthcare system needs improving, Durataia believes he's getting an education comparable to what is offered at medical schools in most of Western Europe.
Basically, in Romania, you can get a very, very good practical education. You learn how to touch a patient, how to insert a needle inside him, how to operate him. That's very, very, very good in Romania, and also here in Cluj. But in terms of fundamental science, basic level, we're somewhere in the middle.
Dr. Ciprian Silaghi agrees. He says his Romanian medical students are entering medical school with a better high school education than the two foreign students he teaches.
Our high school is more profound than the other countries, and that's because why. But after 3 or 4 years of medicine, they become equivalent, so it's okay. But at the beginning, at the first and the second or third year, our students, it's better than other countries like Germany or Sweden, which are developed countries.
Attending public medical school in Romania is also inexpensive compared with other European Union countries. Romanian students are accepted to medical school based on test scores, and they can earn a free medical school education if they remain in the top 75% of their class. While the education is not free for foreign students, it is cheap. That's why Jeanette Anderson moved from Sweden to Romania to study medicine.
There are too many Swedes who want to become a doctor, and there's not enough room for us, so everyone goes abroad. I think 2,500 Swedish students study abroad, most of them in Poland, but Poland is much more expensive, and Romania is the cheapest place to study, so we're like 200 Swedes studying here now.
It only costs her around 3,000 euros a year, the equivalent of about $4,250. Although foreign students may want to come and study in Romania, most will not practice medicine here. The medical students in Romania, however, remain optimistic that Romania's healthcare system will eventually improve, and most want to return to Romania when that happens. For second-year medical student Ana Niculescu, there is no reason why she wouldn't come back if she could make a good living practicing medicine.
I have all my friends here and my family. I don't want to leave them, but knowing that there's not something good waiting for me here, it's kind of makes me wonder, wouldn't it be better if I go to another city or another country or see other places, and then I can make up my mind.
For Durataia, hope for healthcare in Romania resides in Romania's recent accession to the European Union in 2007.
I hope that entering the European Union will raise our standards, and they'll have to buy equipment, buy consumables, raise salaries. Also, we'll have better people trained. I hope that, because if we wouldn't be in the European Union, nothing would change. We'd have changed nothing.
With the rise of a private health sector in Romania, an improved medical system is trying to break through. Unlike the public health sector, the private sector relies on direct payments from patients.
The private sector is still in the beginning, and they started small. They started at the level of dentistry and outpatient practice. Gradually, they have expanded into small-scale hospitals, performing basic and expensive stuff like plastic surgery, delivery, cosmetic / dermatological procedures, which will not require a lot of risks, but will involve a lot of money. The money that can come directly from the pocket of the well-paid patient, and this leading to a natural selection of the clientele, or the money will come out of the private insurances.
Although some doctors and medical students have mixed feelings about the private health sector being the future in healthcare for Romania, Dr. Maria Dronca, who is an instructor at the University of Medicine and Pharmacy in Cluj, said the private health sector will create a challenge within the Romanian healthcare system.
Challenge between different between hospitals, particular hospitals, to get the best doctors, to get the best equipment.
Andy Sarbu, in his fourth year of medical school in Cluj, has a negative perception of the private health sector in Romania. He says it's too much like American healthcare.
Everybody thinks that Americans, that's the ideal. It's not, and it's been proven that, especially in healthcare, that's not the ideal. They have the knowledge, they have the best medical equipment, the best everything, they have the best doctors, but they have to train away patients. And that doesn't make sense to me.
Sarbu was raised in the U.S. His parents fled Romania during communism. After the revolution, Sarbu returns to Romania to be educated as a doctor in the country where he was born. But he doesn't plan to remain here after graduation.
My plan right now is to go to England. It is NHS. That's a healthcare system that I could probably work in. I've studied up on it. It's not that hard to get in there. And I need another year of study after this. In 7 years, I'd be working in England as a doctor.
Sarbu says he doesn't see the government of Romania doing much to improve healthcare. He would like to see more invested in the public hospitals.
They're falling apart, and the money that the government supposedly is putting into it to try to make it better, I think that just goes in someone's pocket, because I haven't seen improvements, I haven't seen renovations.
Dr. Dronca believes the government is trying, but she says it takes a lot of money to improve healthcare.
They try to organize better, but now there isn't money, there isn't funds to do, quickly. The economy is not very good now, so because of that, there isn't enough money to invest in medical care.
Although it is unclear how serious the government is, fourth-year medical student Alexandre Durataya says he has heard talk of a new government program. It would make medical students pay the government back the cost of their education if they leave the country, a sum of about 20,000 euros, or $27,900. This is Pamela Nisabaco, Revealing Romania.
Healthcare reform isn't the only improvement that many Romanians would like to see. The former communist nation must also improve an education system that needs to meet EU standards now. And while changes have been made over the past 20 years, Brianna Coco also learned that schools in today's Romania are still lacking.
In the 20 years since the end of communism in Romania, the education system has been undergoing reform. The Ministry of Education is creating programs to change the curriculum and textbooks, as well as the way it evaluates teachers and finances schools. The woman in charge of overseeing elementary school education at the Ministry of Education is Liliana Preotessa. She says education is key to the development of the country.
If you don't have educated people, and if you don't have people able to adapt to what the changes bring, and sometimes they bring it quicker than the pace of the reform and all the changes in education, then we will have a problem in developing our economic status. So I think education should be the main target of the government for several decades in order to be able to have a high-level education for everybody.
Preotessa says the Ministry of Education is stressing teacher training because the role of the teacher in the classroom has changed since the days of communism.
It had to do more with becoming a mediator between the students and the knowledge they can find anywhere. And of course, before 89, there were no computers, there was no internet, there were no mobile phones. The information you got was written in books. It was on the 2 hours of TV program, out of which more than 60% was information about what the ruler did and said and whatever. So it was no information at all.
The director at Nicolae Belcescu High School agrees. Marinella Violetta says they are trying to close the generation gap since many teachers within the school systems were teachers during communism. During this time, it was forbidden to express your feelings and opinions. Now teachers need a new approach in the classroom.
People make a get this relation through communication. They talk a lot and they are talking a lot, and to have this relation, you have to love children firstly. Then everything comes.
But a teacher at Babar Ishvan High School, Erna Katalan, insists that it is much more difficult to teach in today's school system because students are less interested in learning and take too much for granted.
The problem is you couldn't find the oranges, and you couldn't buy chocolate, and it was a struggle for everything, so it was much more harder. But as the children did not have anything for everything, so then it was a problem to buy a pair of trousers or a shoe.
In Romania, parents play an important role in the education of their children, but until now have shielded their children from the realities of their lives under Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu. In fact, for many years after the revolution, it was forbidden to discuss communism in school, but that too is starting to change. A student studying economics at Babeș Bodă University in Cluj, Andra Chirla, says they are learning about the harsh realities of life during communism in school today.
I used to say, I wish that there came one single day when everything would be back like communism for all of the people to be shocked to see how there was nothing over there, like to go in stores and find nothing on the shelves. I was like, no, mom, thank you, I need to go to the mall and shop. Sorry, keep your baby in your mind, I don't want it back.
A mother of two daughters, Luciana Gherle, says she believes her children will be better prepared for their futures than her generation was.
They didn't want people to be informed and to be open to the other world. They wanted them to know less because they said it's better for them, that's why they didn't let them do almost anything.
However, even with reforms in place, the system is not perfect. Romanians find that most of the problems are in the small villages, where it is harder to create change. Programs like the FARE project, funded by the European Union, promote professional and technical education. The director of Paul Georgescu School in the village of Sandoray, Rita Chris, says there is a process the school must go through to receive fundings for individual projects.
FARE program has two main types of projects. A strategic one, meaning it is made from a request concerning a region, country, but in order to get the money, you have to explain why do you need them, to prove the documentation that the objective is realistic, that it would be continued.
And many rural schools are now teaching English. The director of the Peace Corps, teaching English as a foreign language program, says her program and the Ministry of Education are working together to promote change. Mirela Marianescu says the Peace Corps volunteers assist both Romanian students and teachers.
Reforming the system has been traditionally one where students were accustomed to memorizing information and giving it back, so very much an informative system rather than a formative one, and the volunteers coming from the American system have a lot of impact a lot to say in developing critical thinking and problem solving with the students. So one great aspect is the fact that there is flexibility for them to include activities to develop these skills along with creativity, and they also bring the culture and civilization angle to teaching, because they come from the system. So instead of reading about the American culture from a textbook, you have it from the direct source.
And now that Romanian citizens are part of a larger group of nations, there is an opportunity for Romanian students to study abroad. A student at Babeș Bodă studied in Italy last semester. Andra says studying in Italy was favorable because the classes were taught in English.
I can say that Italy was a good experience, but I would repeat if I had the chance to.
And students from other countries are now studying in Romania. Letizia Costanau, an Italian studying journalism in Romania, says she wanted to travel abroad to open her mind and grow as a person.
I never think to come to Romania, but I think it could be an experience too. I'd like to go to the United Kingdom or Ireland, but why not Romania? So I hope to have something to do, to talk about when I will come back to Italy, to my parents, to my friends, something positive.
The Director General at the Ministry of Education, Liliana Preotessa, says while there have been many improvements to the education system at all levels, it is hard to document results because there is no baseline study.
I think some changes can be seen now, the program being ended for 8 years. You can see some of the seeds that were put then have flowered now, have given something as a result in the classroom. I wouldn't say that happens in every classroom and with every teacher, but I think we now have an important core of teachers that understood that change was needed.
Progress is even slower now. The global economic downturn has hit Romania hard, and there is little money right now to continue funding the education reform. This is Brianna Coco, Revealing Romania.
This is Revealing Romania, a look through the eyes and ears of U of I journalism students at a country facing great opportunities and great challenges. I'm John Paul.
And I'm Jane Riefstein. Boosting tourism is a priority for Romania as a way of developing the economy. Kirsten Skirka toured the country checking out its top attractions, and she learned its tourism industry has great potential. But as a new European Union member competing with other member states like France and Italy, she also learned Romania needs to decide on an image to market.
All my friends said, why are you going there? Why don't you go somewhere cool? That's the question many tourists confront when they talk about their trip to Romania. But those who have been there say there are plenty of reasons to visit.
The countryside there, you go through. It is the beautiful, the mountains, the valleys, everything is very nice. I like it very much.
I enjoy the idea of coming someplace different, since I have done the London-Paris thing. So it's a little kicky to come to Romania.
Romania is probably best known as the land of Dracula, a character developed from the real-life story of Romanian ruler Vlad Tepes. He used to impale his victims and was given the name Vlad the Impaler by his terrified subjects. It's said that he lived at Castle Braun. Tour guide Luisa Lovardo says it's now known to tourists as Dracula's castle.
And they feel very sorry when they find out that it's only a legend.
And Castle Braun isn't the only important castle in Romania. There are others throughout the countryside as well, like Pelish Castle and the resort town of Sinaia. Several Romanian kings lived here, including King Ferdinand and Queen Marie. Scenic views and loads of history give tourists like Vicky Raduc reasons to visit.
I'm interested in seeing the countryside, to see how the people live here after the fall of the socialism, and I don't know, I'm interested in culture.
The National Statistics Institute reports nearly 9 million tourists visited Romania last year, up 15% from 2007. But compared to other European Union countries like France and Italy, with their combined total of more than 100 million tourists, Romania's number seems rather small. Professor Nicolae Sianga says tourism in Romania could be so much more.
At the moment, tourism represents a small part of Romania's GDP, about 5%. But because of the potential the country has, it's considered that tourism will be one of the alternatives that would set value to Romania's potential.
Building a tourism industry on the heels of a communist past is a slow process. Former Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu didn't value tourism. After the fall of the regime, the industry had to start from scratch.
The Romanian people want this change. They want to make these changes quickly. They haven't died. Yes, patience for to wait so many years.
It takes time, but most of all, it takes interest, because we have time, and we had time for a long time ago, so they could have done something.
There is now a Ministry of Tourism, a branch of government created to promote Romania to the outside world. Tourism Minister Elena Iudra is well known throughout the country, but is often criticized for not doing enough. Minister Iudra did ring the opening bell at the Bucharest Stock Exchange, where she answered only one question about her plan to promote Romania.
In front of the City Hall from Paris, we'll have a whole day dedicated to Romania. The Champs-Élysées will be paved sidewalks with posters about Romania and this campaign. This will be the first part of this international campaign.
People like Esteban Ketar aren't waiting for the government to lure tourists to Romania. He's taking things in his own hands. He and his wife started a travel agency in Bucharest a little over a year ago.
We are looking just for the foreigners from America, from Japan, from Germany, Austria, Italy.
Ketar admits it's very hard to change people's misconceptions about Romania.
People were also afraid to come here because they see only the bad part of Romania.
Bad things like poor roads and stalled construction projects. Lipscani, located in Bucharest's historic district, is one of the few areas of the city where old buildings still stand. But accessibility and safety are huge problems. Torn up sidewalks have been replaced with unstable makeshift boardwalks, and reconstruction of the district has come to a halt. Tourists wanting to visit the countryside of Romania also face hazards. They are advised not to rent a car because of the unclear rules of the road and the dangers that await them there.
If you talk about roads, it takes hours to get from one place to the other, because of the holes, or just it's a one-way road or the kind of thing. There's no highway.
Tourists are also warned not to use their credit cards or ATM machines because Romania is home base for cybercrime. Many tourists find it more inviting to visit other EU countries. This means creating a brand for Romania is not easy. University of Illinois advertising professor Dina Minset says to build a brand, you need a confident country.
Very often are insecure and say that other countries are better, that Western Europe is so much better, there is so many more things that people are better. But that's probably education, that's probably time, that's the baggage that comes from a silly time.
She says Romania needs to get itself on the tourist map, with good reviews in tourist books and dining guides like Sagat and Michelin.
Having a Michelin ranking would be enormous, because that's highly respected in Europe and around the world.
Until it can make the needed improvements, travel writer Ina Bork-Caruso wants tourists coming to Romania to understand one thing.
As an American, I think you have to come with a different mindset, that we're not going to Disneyland, we're not going to California, we're not going to England or Paris, we're going to a country that's still developing. You just gotta go with it.
An effort to brand Romania is in the works. Right now, Romania uses the slogan Land of Choice for commercials playing on YouTube. A national tourism brand is expected to be announced in 2010, a marketing plan that is costing about 75 million euro. That's more than $106 million. This is Kirsten Skirka, revealing Romania.
Minorities account for over 10% of Romania's population. The largest is the national Hungarian minority. Most Hungarians living in Romania didn't choose to be Romanian nationals. Their citizenship was the result of Transylvania's annexation into Romania after the First World War. But they're managing to keep their Hungarian culture alive, as Bruce Harrison reports. Cluj is the largest city in Transylvania and has a diverse ethnic population, nearly a fifth of which is Hungarian. But along Royal Boulevard, the city center of Cluj, it is rare to see anything written in Hungarian. Records show the Hungarian population in Cluj is around 19%, just short of 20% needed to have Hungarian language street and building signs. Hungarian political party members say there are actually more Hungarians in the city than the percentage reflects, and say the mayor is ignoring their petitions to have signs printed in Hungarian. Zsolaki Zsolt, counsel to the regional president of the Democratic Union of Hungarians in Romania, more commonly known as the UDMR, says it's not a matter of numbers, but a matter of political will.
It's a legal question in this respect, it's a political question.
And this is a big contradiction between theory and practice. Obviously, theoretically, we have a council decision, but they don't want to put in practice.
Acceptance of the Hungarian language is in contention all across Transylvania, particularly in areas where older generations of Hungarians are refusing to learn Romanian. Ava Sandor, an ethnic Hungarian, lives in Mircăraciuc, an eastern city in Transylvania populated by 40,000 people, 80% of which are Hungarian. As an ethnic Hungarian, she would like to break free from Romania. She wants territorial autonomy.
She believes that
As a second Hungarian, she can become more complete as a person if there is autonomy.
Mircăraciuc is the county capital of Harghita County, one of three counties in mix of the Hungarian-dominated Székely Land. The Székely National Council are the borders of the Székely Land based on the population in the region.
Her culture thrives more, and the region has more control over its income.
And though Sandor can explain her support for autonomy, she says most cannot. She says this is the problem. The fact that most Hungarians don't understand the different models of autonomy or know exactly what they want.
So they keep asking for it, but they are not clear about the many different models.
The ability to understand or explain autonomy seems to run in academic circles. Galuchetti, an ethnic Hungarian and University of Bucharest professor, described autonomy as a hierarchy.
There are a lot of kinds of autonomy. The first level is the territorial autonomy, which would comprise secular counties. But the lowest level is the personal autonomy, which means I can use my mother tongue in each circumstances, in family, in school, in cultural events, and so on. And of course, I believe in it. I think it's normal, and we have that kind of autonomy.
The issue of collective minority rights and autonomy differs regionally. Cheddy is one of many Hungarians in Bucharest who is satisfied with his rights and doesn't see a need for an autonomous region in Transylvania. Sharing Cheddy's opinion is Bogdan Sendra, an ethnic Romanian. He views territorial autonomy as anti-progressive in Romania's developing democracy.
Mine said one day that, okay, if they want autonomy, cut everything. Power, telecommunications, labor, everything. They want autonomy, have it. I don't know, fly helicopters with food from Budapest. Do whatever you want, but you have autonomy.
Sindra's viewpoint is shared by a majority of the Romanian population, as well as many Hungarians, mainly those living outside Transylvania.
I hope that in 200-300 years there will be only one nation, so no more fights about who's Hungarian, who's Romanian, who's Ukrainian. This kind of talk isn't helping.
It is rare to hear talk of autonomy in a city like Bucharest, but this doesn't mean the Hungarians living there don't value their culture. For an entire week, twice a year, they come together to eat, drink, and dance during what they call the Hungarian Days of Bucharest. Diana Beres was celebrating with Hungarians on a Friday evening at the Hungarian Cultural Center in Bucharest. Between meals of meat, a Romanian dish, and goulash, a Hungarian dish, she described why she doesn't believe autonomy is necessary for Hungarians.
As a Romanian, and I accept that I was born here, and I accept that I'm a Hungarian. I have Hungarian nationality, and I'm a Romanian citizen, but no, I don't want to know the name.
Beres says that she has all the rights she wants as an ethnic Hungarian and a Romanian citizen. She says parties requesting autonomy like the Rudimere aren't representing the voice of the people.
I don't feel myself discriminated, I don't feel myself pushed away, because I'm Hungarian, so this is why I don't have autonomy. I have all the rights that I want.
Hungarians of all ages gather for the celebrations in Bucharest. A group of Hungarian youth at the cultural center, ages 17 to 23, jointly express their beliefs about Hungarian-Romanian relations.
This minority issue is mostly because of our history and it's politics. Only in the hands of older generations.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say that our generation, we have an attitude of peace, you know, like, why can't we get along?
The youth at the Hungarian Cultural Center say that discrimination generally doesn't exist between the ethnicities, and regionally, the opinion of Hungarian youth seems consistent. Josef Fadink is vice president of KMDSC, Hungarian student youth organization in Cluj. He says that Hungarians and Romanians get along very well in Cluj.
We are right here, but I think that Hungarian right here in Cluj or in other places in Transylvania, we always stay together with the Romanians, we play each other, we go to school each other, it's okay.
For the older generations of Hungarians living in Transylvania, it isn't so simple. Josef Schiffman, president of the KMDSC, says his grandmother, who only speaks and reads Hungarian, calls him when she needs to pay the bills, because they're only printed in Romanian.
My grandmother calling me, and I translate the letters and after that. Paying, so it's very, very difficult.
But having two dominant languages in the region is not hurting business relations. Szilard Zakács is a business development manager for the Hungarian-Romanian Chamber of Commerce in Cluj. Zakács says many Hungarian investors are heading to the Székelyföld land because they speak the same language. He says nationality does not interfere with business relations.
Businessmen don't really focus on this. They just want to do business. It's their main idea. When it comes to business, they don't care about his nationality. If it's a good partner, it can be the Hungarian-Romanian or Ukrainian, Russian, Polish, whatever.
Business is good. Discrimination is minimal. But the centuries-old Hungarian culture is still seeing signs of decay in Romania. Progressive politician Sava Sogor, and Rudimere, a European Union representative, says having to learn Romanian is a good thing.
We need the Romanian language because it's a step for learning Spanish, French, Italian, English, German.
The Romanian constitution defines Romania as a single nation, not a federal state with autonomous regions, and it is unlikely the territorial autonomy will be granted anywhere in Transylvania. But many just desire enough recognition so that their children will question silly, but telling centuries-old jokes like this one that Cherry told.
I will resolve our problems. I am from Hungary. No, no, thank you. I have eaten already.
Not Hungary, but Hungary. In Romania, I'm Bruce Harrison. It might surprise you to learn that one of the growth industries in the agricultural sector of Romania's economy is its evolving wine industry. Romania has been making wine for thousands of years, but has never been recognized globally. Historians and researchers say a country and its culture are often defined by the way its people eat and drink. Throughout Europe, that often means a glass or a bottle of wine with a good meal. This couple from Finland is traveling Europe. Tonight, they're having a glass of wine in Bucharest. They say they always drink wine native to the country they visit.
Oh, that's very important because you have to taste the local spirit.
Romania grows more grapes and makes more wine than you'd expect. 150 million gallons, enough to make this country among the top 12 wine producers in the world. Yet it is far behind France, Italy, Spain, and even California. The state of California alone produces 560 million gallons of wine a year. But when one of the prime Romanian wine-producing regions, Transylvania, is better known for Dracula than a good bottle of wine, the image problem is obvious. Radu Riza is a wine critic in Bucharest. He's confident Romania can change its wine image abroad and raise its visibility in America.
With the right promotion, with the right branding, no more stories about Dracula and Nadia Comăneci and Ceaușescu. Just reminding people that Romania is among the 10 largest wine producers in the world. Explaining them that there is also good wine if you care to taste it at least once.
Givet is one of Romania's biggest wine companies, owned and operated by a Romanian father and son team. At this Transylvania winery, millions of gallons of wine are aged, bottled, and shipped every day. In fact, Givet boasts that it makes more white wine than any other Romanian winemaker. A large-scale operation like this is rare. Romania's Wine Exporting Association says 75% of Romania's wineries are small, with less than 3 acres of grapes. Ivan Buia is the lead vendor at Givet. Through an interpreter, he says Givet's wines have a unique Romanian character.
The wine has the personality of the people that work in here and of the winery of the area.
Givet is one of the wineries embracing Romania's recent entry into the European Union. After joining the EU, dozens of Romanian wine producers received millions of euros to help them meet the European Union standards for winemaking. Grant money was used to upgrade equipment, plant better varieties of grapes, and increase efficiency. This vineyard is in the Delmare region north of Bucharest. It is operated by the British-funded Halewood Group. On this hillside, nearly 350 acres of vines are bursting with young grapes that will be used to make Pinot Noir, Cabernet, Sauvignon Blanc, and a uniquely Romanian wine called Vitasca Negra. Halewood's commercial director, Mihail Kittic, says planting better, stronger grapes than those used in the communist era means Romanian wines have great potential.
We need to build a good image and a good brand, very good brands, very consistent quality of the brands Romanian, for Romanian wines, and for sure to put some money to promote it. And that would be for sure successful because it is pity to invest too much in this land, to put some new wines, to work those vineyards and to produce a wine that nobody knows.
VinExpert is one of the largest wine stores in all of Bucharest. The wines of Romania are featured prominently here, especially those wines native to Romania. Vitasca Alba, Vitasca Negra, Tamiasa, and Vitasca Regala.
This is
Karech Winery, and this is Stilbey, Domain Stilbey. We have few from the west here. Karech, it's the name of the producer. You can see it from right there.
The shop's co-owner says winemakers here may achieve their greatest success by concentrating on production of those wines native to Romania.
Sigur, ar trebui să încurajeze soiurile locale, care nu ar intra în concurență directă cu soiurile cultivate la plan internațional.
We'll have to encourage the national variety that are not in the competition with the international variety.
Less than 10% of the wine produced in Romania is exported, and nearly all of the wine that does leave the country remains within Europe, where it faces stiff competition. Unlike Romania, Italy is known for its vino. From Chianti to Brunello and Pinot Grigio, Italy is second only to France in global wine production. It's not easy to find Romanian wine in Italy, but at this cultural center in Rome, indeed we did find some, a few bottles at least. We took a bottle of Romanian Merlot to this wine expert in Rome. Pierre Alberto Merli is a trained and certified sommelier who have never tasted Romanian wine.
The color is performant.
After his first sips, he called this one good, but not great. He suggested Romania improve its wines by investing in trained vendors.
I don't think that you can create a great wine without a good, you say in European or English, enologist, the person who is making the wine. You can have the first elements, break down, break leaves, right time to take the fruit. But if the factory, in that case, is not working with a good analogist, perhaps never you can arrive to a quality product.
If you search hard enough, you can find Romanian wine in some parts of the United States. Terra Firma in St. Louis is one of the few American importers of Romanian wine. In this warehouse just west of the city, Christian Soare stores cases of wine he will try to sell to liquor stores, restaurants, and distributors in the Midwest.
Lots of body, lots of tennis to this product. It does not show.
Soare admits convincing someone to buy or taste Romanian wine is a challenge.
When I go and when I'm introducing my products, I would never introduce a wine from Romania because nobody would even acknowledge Romania making wines. However, Romania has been making wines for over 2,500 years documented.
Romania's Wine Exporting Association realizes it needs a strong marketing plan, which it hopes to unveil in late 2009. Ivan Steffen says that plan, combined with maturing grapes and improvements at wineries, could bring more Romanian wine to America.
We have to change the mentality of consumers around the world, but until then we have to insist more on having larger quantities of wines for export.
You might expect the global recession to reduce wine purchases, but that's not the case in many places. The typical Romanian consumes twice as much wine as his American counterpart. A typical American consumes about 2 gallons of wine a year. Many people in and around the Romanian wine industry believe their wines will find a place on the global wine market in the next 6 to 8 years. That's if Romanian wine producers focus on production of distinctive East European wines.
Producing wines from traditional grapes. And there's a lot of grapes with high potential in Romania. We'll first render that wine exotic. And the client, a curious wine client, would buy just to check it out, just to see what the matter with that wine. And if you think that bottle the producer put something good, he will repent it. It's just as simple.
Risa says Romania's wine industry, like all good wines, needs time to mature.
Romania is a complex nation at an exciting stage of development, but like the rest of Europe, its economy is hurting as of late. This year, the International Monetary Fund approved a $17 billion loan to Romania. The country's leadership hopes the loan will cushion it from the current world economic crisis.
Yet despite its challenges, hope is a word we hear spoken over and over again by young Romanians. This nation that was once cut off from the West for decades is now an EU member, something that many Romanians, young and old, consider a great triumph. It's certainly enough for many Romanians to feel optimistic about their country's future.
Thanks for joining us, and we wish to thank University of Illinois Chancellor Richard Herman, the University of Russia East European Center, the Center for Global Studies, the European Union Center, Professor Leon Dash, journalism students at Babeș Bulgaria University in Cluj, Romania, and the Independent Journalism Center in Bucharest. Without the support of these individuals and organizations, revealing Romania would not have been possible. For more on our travels and to see our one-hour television special, you can go to www.will.illinois.edu/Romania. I'm Jane Newstead.
And I'm John Paul.